Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Put this down. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, number 639, Archishman. The word Archish refers to a ray of light, so it means he who has many rays of light, who is lustrous, bright. There are several names in Vishnu Sahasranam which have similar purport. Mahateja. Mahatejaha is one. These are not yet discussed. Sahasrarchi, who has literally 1,000 rays of light. Jyoti, the name for Krishna. Many, specifically rays of light. You've seen iconic representations of saints or Krishna. Sometimes we see Radha, Krishna, and then it's represented that light is emanating from them in rays, which actually it is. Although not everyone sees it. Not everyone sees Krishna. And everyone who sees Krishna might not see him as the Supreme Lord. So they may see him, but not recognize him as the Supreme Lord. They're not able to recognize his greatness. Of course, even a great devotee is unable to recognize the greatness of Krishna to the full extent, but at least they can realize that he is great. And one of the many symptoms of his greatness is his brightness, which also indicates purity in the study of these auras. If the yellow light is that shows the purity of the personality, and various colors, red shows anger, green shows envy, blue shows dullness, depression, tamagun, and so on. And bright yellow light in the aura of a person indicates that they are of very pure consciousness, shining consciousness. So those who are devotees, they can see his brightness. Specifically, Sri Bhatta, Parashara Bhatta, the original Sri Vaishnava commentator on the Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, raises the example of Arjuna, who was given divine eyes by Krishna to see the universal form, Vishvarupam, which was so bright that normally he wouldn't be able to see it. Even Arjuna wouldn't normally be able to see it. So very, very bright. We're advised not to stare at the sun when the sun is out and blazing, because it's too bright for us to see. People live in the sun. They have different sensory apparatus by which they can live in the sun and not become blinded, not become burned either. They have different kinds of bodies. Most people might not believe that. Right? People live in the sun. How can you live in the sun? Well, there are living beings in the earth, in the water, in the air. Why not in the sun? It's all part of God's creation. So the sun represents a little of the light, very little of the light of Krishna, because all light comes from him. And this is only one sun in one universe. And There are millions of universes, millions of suns. So he is Archushman. Just like we have Buddhiman, one who is intelligent. So, one who has got rays of light. That's not ordinary. You know, most people don't have rays of light emanating from their body, but Krishna has. Why? Because he's Krishna. That's the only explanation. You can go and study scientifically. No, you can't. You can't study Krishna. No, by science, that means the endeavor to measure him. You can bring all your scientific instruments, but you won't find Krishna. He can be found by love, not by scientific instruments. The very foolish idea of the scientist, well, we looked in our telescopes, we looked in our microscopes, we didn't find any God. We went into space, we didn't see any God. He's supposed to be sitting on the clouds. We went beyond the clouds, we didn't see any God. So that proves there's no God. Yeah, to you, you fool. another Sri Vaishnava, subsequent Sri Vaishnava commentator, Sri V.V. Ramanujan, specifically states that this archish, the rays of light emanating from him, that's particularly in his archa form, deity form. So those who have the eyes to see can see that Krishna pratima nahatumi shakat brajendra nandam. The deity is not simply a statue, but he is directly Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, and how effulgent he is. And actually, we see Krishna reciprocates with the worship of his devotees. If he's worshipped, I'm talking about here in the archa form, deity form. If the deity is worshipped with much devotion, then he reciprocates by looking very happy. And if not, as we find in the first canto of Bhagavatam, when Yudhishthira Maharaj saw the symptoms of disaster, that the deities in the temple, in the temples, they looked dull and unhappy. So deity also shines with the light, spiritual light. the light comes from him. another, I'm not sure, Radha Krishna Shastri, another commentator, explains that the luster of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or his greatness, is experienced by the devotee at the devotee's level of ability to perceive. In other words, more devotion, more experience of Krishna. Shankaracharya, he gives a different angle on this name, that he is the source of all light in all luminary beings. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, Jyotisham apitat jyotish tamasam paramuchyate. He is the light that gives light to the... He gives the light to the illuminating bodies. So, the principle illuminating body in the universe is the sun. Is that right? Is it the sun or the moon or the stars? It's Krishna.
Oh, man.
You didn't hear it, did you? I just said that. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Why is the sky blue? The reflection of Krishna's body. That's why. Well, no, it's not. We looked in our telescope and we saw there's refraction of light and this and that. Yeah. That's how you see it. You'll never see Krishna. So, how does the sun become bright? Just like an iron rod in fire acts just like fire. So the sun and the moon shine because Krishna manifests his light through them. He's the antaryami, the indweller, in all bodies. So whatever qualities any living or non-living being has, they're all acquired from Krishna. So the quality of light, yad chakshurisha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta sura murti rashesha teja yasya gaya brahmati sambhrita kala chakra govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. So the sun shines just like the eye of Krishna. By the light we can see. The king of all the planets, rotating on Krishna's order. Kathopanishad. Natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam ne ma vidyuto bhanti kuto yamagnihi. Tameva bhantum anubhati sarvam. Tasya bhasa sarva vidam vibhati, referring to the world beyond this world, the spiritual world, that the sun, the moon, the stars, even lightning has any effulgence there. What to speak of fire? The sun here we think is so very bright, but there it would be like, in the spiritual world, if you were to transport the sun to the spiritual world, it would be like the light of a glowworm, which you don't notice in the day, only at night. There must be glowworms around here, are there? Yeah. Or you won't see with the neon lights in the black darkness. We can see the light of a glowworm. Otherwise, if there's even a neon light, these street lights, you won't see the light of a glowworm. So, like that, the light of the spiritual world is fantastically bright. Fantastic means beyond our ability to imagine. So, by the light of Kathopanishad is speaking about Brahman, which means Krishna. By his light, everything in this world and the other world, every world is illuminated. Baladev Vidyabhushan, our Gaudiya commentator, he gives a completely different understanding of this name, relating it to Krishna in Mathura, when he went there, and then when he heard Kamsa saying that. Kamsa became angry, and one of the things he called out was arrest Ugrasena, throw him in prison, his own father. And Krishna became so angry that he glowed with anger. Completely different explanation. So it's very important to understand that Krishna is the source of all light, because the Mayavadis, they say that beyond Krishna is the light, right? They say that. There's the Krishna, yeah, he comes from the light, but it's not that. It's the light comes from Krishna. Many years ago, as I've several times related, this must have been 1977 or 1978, going from Calcutta, ISKCON, to Hindustan Motors, which is where ambassador cars, I don't know if they still make them, ambassador cars are made on the western side of the Hooghly River. There's Hindustan, there's a train station called Hindustan Motors. So we went there, did a program. I mean, there was a, in a temple in which we did the program, there was a big painting or print. So I looked at it at the bottom, and it was a depiction of the universe from, I can't remember exactly, but presumably Garbhadakshay Vishnu was there at the bottom. Then the hellish worlds and the Pitri Loka, then the lower planets, the middle planets, the upper planets, Brahma, the going up, and then above all of that is Lakshmi Narayana. Above is Radha Krishna. There's just one more thing above that, some Om symbol with light coming out. They got everything right except the main thing. So they say light comes, from light comes Krishna. And from this misconception comes so many others. This is not directly related, but I'll read it anyway, because it gives an idea of how the common misconceptions of Mayavad to avoiding Krishna and have very different outlook on spiritual life altogether. I just read this recently. This is Srila Prabhupada in conversation with Indian number one. They don't win in the conversations when there's an American man. They don't say American. They just say guest. But when it's an Indian, they say Indian, as if they're a different species or something. So Indian one says, it is devotion to forget ourselves. So, there you go. That's the misconception. Devotion means to forget ourselves. That can be true, but it wasn't in the sense that this man said. So Srila Prabhupada responded, no, forget ourself not. If you forget yourself, then how you'll work? You must know what is your position. Indian one. No, forget ourselves. That means we have to forget the passions and selfishness. Srila Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, passion, that is base principle. I mean to say, actually, you have to remember yourself. What is your position? Not forget yourself. So to forget yourself in devotion is a very high level, but the first thing is not to forget yourself, but to remember who we actually are. What is our actual position? Your position, Srila Prabhupada says, as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamayivangsho, I am the part and parcel of God. You cannot forget this. If you forget this, then everything is. And again, the man says, no. That is, not to forget that, only to forget the bad things. He always has to have an answer. Srila Prabhupada said, you cannot forget bad things unless you are engaged in good things. So many misconceptions come. And maybe unsurprising, because the Upanishads, they speak of the light, they appear to present an impersonal understanding, at least they're widely understood like that. But yadadvaitam brahmo panishadi tadapyasya tanubha. What is described in the Upanishads as the one non-dual, non-dual is a better word here, non-dual, advaita. What is described here as the non-dual, yadadvaitam brahma. What is described as the non-dual spirit, Upanishadi, tad, which refers to the subject of this verse, which is na chaitanyat krishna jagati paratattvam paramiha. The subject is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, who is the highest truth. So, tadapyasya tanubha, it is his bodily effulgence. The light comes from him. I was saying how Arjuna was able, he was given divyam dadati chakshu. He was given divine eyes by which he could see that universal form, which is described. I was also described by that, what's his first name? Oppenheimer?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
The atom bomb.
Yeah, when the first nuclear explosion was exploded in the New Mexico desert, then he was ready with his quote from Bhagavad Gita, this verse. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yukapad Uttita Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasyad Bhasas Tasya Mahatmanaha. If hundreds and thousands of suns were to rise at once in the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse is as follows. What Arjuna saw was indescribable, yet Sanjaya is trying to give a mental picture of that great revelation to Dhritarashtra. Neither Sanjaya nor Dhritarashtra was present. But Sanjaya, by the grace of Vyas, could see whatever happened. Thus he now compares this situation, as far as it can be understood, to an imaginable phenomenon. Thousands of suns. It's imaginable, just about. Only just about. We can just about imagine thousands of suns rising at once. Possible to imagine. And how much light would that be? How much heat would that be? Here's a quote from William Blake, who was an English mystic who believed in God, as we shall see from the lines which I'm about to read, written by William Blake, and quite a unique figure in the history of England. So, he said, God appears and God is light. You've all heard that, right? God is light. God appears and God is light to those poor souls who dwell in night. In other words, he's not much in favor of the God is light theory. He says, God is light to those poor souls who dwell in night. So he's saying that who can only see God as light and nothing more, that's because all they know is darkness. They don't know anything. But he goes on to say, but does a human form display to those who dwell in realms of day? There you go. That's quoted in Back to Godhead magazine, number one. October the 23rd, 1966. And here we are, reporter for, this is in Melbourne, or Melbourne, depending whether you're an Australian or Englishman. I didn't say Australian reporter, presumably he's an Australian reporter. So he says to Srila Prabhupada, it is written in many scriptures that God is light. I wonder if he ever read any scriptures. Anyway. So Prabhupada says, God is everything. God is darkness also. We say God is that from whom everything comes. So light comes, darkness also comes. Darkness also comes from God. So God is light, yeah. And God is darkness too. That's also true. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitang mukam tattvang pushana pavrinu satya dharmaya dushtaye. From Ishopanishad, which Srila Prabhupada gave a theistic commentary to, in response to Shankaracharya's impersonal commentation. I didn't read it, but it's difficult to understand how you can make an impersonal commentation on the Ishopanishad. But yeah, somehow I did. It's the Isha Upanishad, right? It describes this, the controller. But somehow they make it impersonal. So the translation of this verse given by Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. So he's asking for the that light the light of God. If we become fascinated by the light, then you can only see the light, but you want to see the person within the light. Could get extremely frustrating just to be in light and nothing else. Disconcerting if you're just floating in light. Nothing to go, nothing to see, nowhere to go. Up, down, left, right, it's all the same. Just light, 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 light. It's like someone who's stranded at sea. All they can see is sea. Well, they can see the sky also. But after some time at sea, after some days at sea, those who are not experienced wayfarers, they become very anxious to see the land and come to the land. Even to go in a plane. A couple of days ago I was in a plane on a 10-hour journey. To some time you think, phew, let's get this. I want to get down. I don't stay in the air forever. So this experience of light, it might be very interesting in the beginning, but after all, we are living beings. We want relationships. So we want to go beyond the light, enter within the light and find Krishna and get enlightenment. See everything. Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to read a quote from Srila Prabhupada, spoken on June the 22nd, 1976, in New Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada said, "So you study in God the greatness, how great He is. At night you have so many lights to illuminate your city and your home, and so many electric powerhouses going on." What a big arrangement, huh? To light up cities and roads and houses. Big, big arrangement. So many electric powerhouses are going on. What is it in America, the main source of energy for
us in Charlotte? It is Duke Power.
Duke Power, that's the name of the company?
Yeah.
But what do they have? Is thermal power station, hydroelectric, or?
Coal,
yeah, that's what they call thermal power stations. Coal, huh? Where does the coal come from?
Appalachians. A lot of it comes from the Appalachian Mountains.
Comes from the Appalachian Mountains, which is just north of here?
Just west of here.
Actually. West of here, huh?
Not all of it, maybe, but coal.
So it's a big arrangement, huh? You have to dig it out of the mine.
Dynamite,
they blast it to pieces. And build a big power station and burn it, capture the heat, convert it into electric power, make a grid. So many arrangements. But, Srila Prabhupada says, God is so great that one sun immediately all light. So much big arrangement to get a little light, but then the sun rises, so much more light than humans can put together. Actually, sometimes you see it's bright like day in these stadiums, sports stadiums.
Yeah.
It's very bright, but I don't know how much they could do. That's just one small area. Could they generate enough electricity to make the whole city like that? I don't know. You don't think so. Jnanam, what is that verse? Jnanena tutaragyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavajjnanam prakashyati tatparam. When knowledge arises within the heart, Krishna says, it dispels all ignorance, just as the sun rising dispels all darkness. One sun is powerful enough. Then Srila Prabhupada says, one sun, immediately all light. There is no need of powerhouse at that time when the sun rises. Then there's no need of the powerhouse, at least not for light. There's no need of the powerhouse, there's no need of matches, there's no need of this light, that light. Take sunlight. That is His greatness. We're so very proud we've made this civilization, that's what they call it. They think civilization is making arrangements for electricity and buildings and cell phones that go off in the middle of class when you should have turned it off. So Srila Prabhupada continues, immediately when the sun comes out, all the darkness is gone. That is his greatness. Do like that, then you compete with God. Can you do it? Then how can you avoid God? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada is referring to those who deny God. Someone most absurdly call themselves God, or say, my guru is God. How can you avoid God? Rascals only, mudha, naradhama. They cannot appreciate the greatness of God. Mudha, they're asses. Anyone who does not appreciate the greatness of God, they're asses, mudha, as good as the ass. And lowest of mankind, naradhama. And their so-called scientific knowledge, useless. There you go. All the great scientific developments of mankind as man marches on to his progress, Srila Prabhupada summarized it in one word, useless. If by scientific knowledge they want to defy God, then they are mudha, naradhama, useless. So someone claims to be God or that we can become God, it's just complete madness. They think that they're spiritual, they're more advanced than the materialist, but a dull-headed materialist who just eats, sleeps, mates, and defends like an animal is not as stupid and nonsensical as someone who claims that they are God. One sun gives more light in 1 second than all the powerhouses could do in millions of years. And the one sun is just one small manifestation of Krishna's power and light. And people say, I am God. Most foolish. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.